Again, working our way backwards, our reading, our psalm this morning is, I'm at Psalm 120 this morning for our time of devotion and prayer. From the New American Standard Version, Psalm 120 reads, "In my trouble, I cried to the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered my soul. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? Sharp arrows of the warrior with the burning coals of the broom tree. Woe is me, for I sojourn in Meshech, for I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long has my soul had its dwelling with those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." This is the first psalm in the series of 15 psalms that we've been talking about. I mentioned that each one is titled A Song of Ascents. And this is the very first one that speaks of the Israelites, the pilgrims making their way to Jerusalem for one of the three great feasts, ascending to the city of Jerusalem for a time of gathering and worship. And this is the first one of those 15 psalms. It's the psalm of desire to be with the Lord's people, a desire, songs of hope and trust in God in various circumstances. They're written by various artists, various writers, David, Solomon, Ezra, a couple others are given credit for writing these. And they speak of just those things, like I said, that the desire of God's people and hope and trust in God. He starts off this one. This one's a little bit different, and you'll see why. I guess it was rightly given on the offset, the first of which was written as the Songs of Ascent, ascending to Jerusalem. He says, "In my distress, or in my trouble, or in my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he answered me." You know, we as God's people often find ourselves in distress and in trouble. There's no secret. We're not immune to that. And the psalmist right away says what he does is what we're called to do, is that we cry out to the Lord in those times, of course. And the psalmist is quick to tell us that he answers it. And, you know, we need to remember that what God has done in the past is gives us confidence that he'll hear us again. A lot of times I think of myself, we get to the point oftentimes with somebody that we've helped a long time and say, "I've done all I can do. I can't, you know, I can't give any more." And God, thankfully, he's just the opposite. You know, he's given to us once, therefore he'll give to us again. And hear us once, he'll hear us again. And I'm thankful that he never grows old. That you think of how many prayers that we've asked the Lord, how many requests we've made of him, and yet he continues to be there to hear. And so our confidence, our reminders of him hearing us in the past, gives us confidence that he'll hear us yet again. And, that's what the psalmist is doing here. He says, "Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue." You know, the Lord won't hear the lies against us, but he does hear our prayer against the lie. The wrongs that we have to bear, ascend up to the Lord the correct way. He never hears slander against his people. Verse 3 and 4, the psalmist kind of shifts. He says, "What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? Sharp arrows of the warrior with the burning coals of the broom tree." He's shifting from his prayer to God to speak directly to those that have caused him that distress and trouble. And what he's doing, he's warning them of what's coming to them, against them. You know, they've cast lies against the psalmist there. and they're about to receive return, the judgment coming back to them. And the thought is that these liars and slanderers, they soon know God's sharp arrows and burning fires of judgment against them. And this is something that we need to remember, that it's easy to look at the news and burn with indignation against those that are in a position to make these ungodly laws against us. And I find just call it for what it is, like a hatred in me burning, against them, when you realize how many lives they're affecting by their wicked laws, And the only thing that kindles that for us is realizing these words are what awaits them in judgment and eternal judgment against God. Those things that they put out, that they perpetrate, trade the lies against so many people. But it causes you pity for them, and it causes you sympathy. I mean, yes, we speak to tell them the truth. What awaits you is the sharp arrows and the burning fires of judgment. But for us, when we think about their position and ours, it kindles, it causes our despise of them to be a pity for them. And, that's a good reminder here of what awaits those that are throwing those lies out and throwing those falsehoods or making those laws against us, is that coming judgment that awaits them. The writer goes on to say in verses 5 and 6, he says, woe is me, for I sojourn in Mesheish, and I dwell among the tents of Kedar. These were two distant places from Israel. Mesheish was up to the north, far north of Israel. They represented a barbarous, warlike tribe of people, fit for war, ungodly, heathen. And the same with the second one, Kedar. It was on the other end. It was in the south, southeast region. And it too was a distant tribe who was warlike in nature, for war, ungodly, heathen. And the writer here, the picture is that the two of them together, they were a picture of one, distant places from their center homeland of Jerusalem. And they were also the opposite of being peaceful, godly people. They were just the opposite. They were heathens. They were ungodly. They were for war, not bringing peace. And so he lists these two as a picture of their beginning of their journey, and they're going through towards Jerusalem, and they're passing through areas, and they're seeing that, the heathen nations around them, and they're far away from the place they want to be in Jerusalem. And they're thinking about and making this comments that, I'm away from where I want to be, and what is surrounding me are these heathen nations. They're opposite of the peace of God that brings to God's people. They're for war, not for peace. And he says, too long my soul has its dwelling with those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they're for war. You have the picture that the psalmist here is aching to be with, to live with God's people for peace. And he longed to be away from living among the ungodly. And he was mindful of his journey that he endured living among the, instead of looking around and seeing all the heathen nations around him, he longed to be with God's people. It's a good discontentment to be that way, to feel that the longing in our land, that we know that our pilgrimage in this land, it's among, a lot of the ungodly people around us. And, we should have that same kind of discontentment in the sense of, we know this is not our home. We know what surrounds us. We know the world we live in. And like the psalmist, we realize that this is just a pilgrimage of ours, that we're longing for something better. It's interesting the way this psalm ends is that, there's no really, it's not a happy verse that he ends. He says, you know, I'm for peace, but when I speak, they're for war. It's like this psalm is like a big, long drawn sigh, you know, and it speaks as simply a discord between a man and his environment. But it urges the soul, it urges our souls to think and seek a better home. And so it's definitely a true pilgrim psalm, and that's what we are, pilgrims in a strange land. This psalm reminds ourselves of this. And this is the start of their pilgrimage, the first psalm of those songs of ascent in their journeys. And that's how they started off reminding themselves is that they're singing this, reminding themselves of the heathen nations around them, but that's not where I belong. That's not where I'm heading. I'm going to, be with God's people. And that's our story. And it's just a good reminder of us that, that's all it is, that we don't need to get so caught up in things of this world and realize that we're just on a short pilgrimage. We pray for the heathen nations and the people around us. We do what we feel like God has called us to do, during our brief stay here. But just a reminder that we too are on that pilgrimage, to a better place. And so we pray for those who persecute us. We pray for those who make the wicked laws. We do what God has called us to do, to be a part. We're in this world, but not of the world. And so, we seek a better place, but we seek to do what the Lord would have us do while we're here. So that's the first of Psalm, and that's our encouragement this morning from this Psalm. And, we'll open it up for a little time of prayer this morning. Maybe some comments, anything that we can maybe lift up in prayer this morning. I know we'll have another time of when others gather with us for deeper prayer, but I just want to have a little time of thanking him that for our hope, you know, this morning, to direct our steps in this life. And, just thank him for the hope that we have before us this morning. So we'll just pray in general terms for this, for our time of time of prayer. You can pray anything you want to. If anyone would like to pray, that's great. Praise the Lord for something. Brief thanksgiving, whatever. Like I said, I'm thankful this morning for all you moms who have labored to raise children in this crazy, wicked world, the devotion that you've given to do what God has called you to do. And what a blessing that's been for y'all to do such a great task in such a great way. Well, let's thank him this morning, and if any of you would like to pray, I'll close.
Father, we do come and praise you this morning. Mm-hmm. This is a day that you have made. Yes. In your sovereignty and your wisdom and your great power, Father, you have caused this day. As we measure days and months and place celestial bodies in the heavenlies so that we can mark things off like a measuring stick. And you have given us, Father, this measure of grace, common grace for billions of people on this planet. We thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you, Father, for the life that you give people in general, us in particular, and especially, Father, spiritual life through your Son, all these things, Father.
Thank you.
Evidences, milestones of your grace that you have given us. Thank you, Father, for your portion of your word in Psalm 120 this morning. Simple song, Father. The psalmist seeking to ascend to Jerusalem, seeking, Father, to be delivered from lion lips and from barbaric people within the nation that lie about. Seek the tongues, Father, that seek to trip up and hinder our ascending to the city. And so, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for a song like this to encourage us that we're a peace-seeking people, the peaceful man in James 5. He will not resist you, it says, that you've called us, Father, to be peacemakers. And we seek to do that with, as ambassadors of your Son, Jesus Christ, bringing terms of reconciliation, not terms of war. We thank you, Father, that you have given us this to remind us, Lord, of what's in our new DNA, in our inner man that you have so formed and fashioned within us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we have a newness of spirit in us and not an oldness of letter. And that we don't start from ourselves to try to please you, just like we don't start from ourselves anymore to try to sin.
Yeah.
That, Father, the manufacturing plant in us produces righteousness and produces good works, things that you have called us to do. We thank you for that. Father, we are your workmanship. This is your manufacturing plant in form. Your Holy Spirit you've given us. So we're asking, Father, that it would run at full steam today in our thoughts, words, and deeds. Father, that our tongues would praise you as they should. Our thoughts, Father, would be like Philippians 4:8, that whatever things are true and good and lovely, like Psalm 120. So, Father, that we could only pray for deliverance from a deceitful tongue, but like the psalmist, Father, to even talk to it, to help. What are you? Father, that we thank you, Lord. That's been short-circuited, that deceitful tongues is not our propensity anymore, although we can fall into those things. And we ask for deliverance from those things.
Yeah.
But we thank you for today. We ask that you would help us as we look into your word and we study it, whether it's Psalm 120 or this whole idea of these things that are hard to understand, hard to accept as Christians, the Father, that we are given illumination. Help us, Father, to not get out of our lane when it comes to your word, help us all to understand it at the same time, Father, that to not go beyond it. We ask, Father, today, especially as we remember moms on Mother's Day, Father, if you give them special grace with your children, grandmothers, mindful, Father, as Paul brings up Lois and Eunice, Father, how those two women shaped Timothy. And we thank you for them. We ask, Father, you be with us even now. It's in Christ's great name we pray.
Father, we do enter your courts with thanksgiving for Mother's Day. And thank you for the mothers that you sovereignly put in my life. It's been such a testimony of how mothers should be, but also how a Christian mother should be. And blessing. But seeing the joy that comes in motherhood, Lord, witnessing even the heartache, Lord, how you use motherhood for sanctification in the lives of believers. Lord, we know that we don't deserve any of these joys that you give us, like a joyous day to honor mothers and consider just the blessing of having children and bringing them up, training them in the way they should grow. Lord, we thank you that you give us these things. Lord, also the desire and the pure joy of seeing just the fulfillment that comes with a child coming to know Christ. Lord, what greater cup could we feel? I don't know. To be able to know that on the other side of eternity, they would be able to join in raising their voices to worship you at the foot of the throne and to cast their crowns. So we pray you would continue to bless the mothers that are in the midst of GBF, Lord, as you have with the hearing of the word, with the encouragement, and even the and the conference that's coming up while we pray you would work things together for the Lord with the encouragement and building of the mothers that are here and the women that will come. They will be blessed, encouraged, exhorted. More than that, those of us that aren't mothers will be a blessing and be able to help in bearing the burdens of these mothers that we will help build them up, shoulder the burden that comes with the heartache of knowing your child is lost. More than knowing when to hold the word back and give the word. And love and patience. Thank you again for this day, Lord, that you've made. In Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you again for our time of worship and gathering and reading of your word. We thank you for leaving us your holy scriptures, Father, to encourage our souls, Father, reminding us of the great God that we serve, that we never grow tired of hearing our cries, that in our distress we can cry out to you, and indeed you hear, Father. We're mindful of the things that pain us in this life, but we are not without a hope, Lord, as the world, as those who don't know you are, but that we have a hope because we have been bought with such a great price. And therefore, our journey is, it combines a vision for the celestial city set in our minds so that our burdens become light, Father, as we turn them over to you and fix our minds and our course on finishing the race set before us, Father. May you encourage us this morning to do such as that. May these things that come against us in word and in deed, may we be reminded that they shall be turned around and on those who falsely harm the brethren in words and in deeds and lying lips. We thank you, Father, that we have such a firm foundation in you. Be privileged to have this short pilgrim in this land. We thank you this morning, Father, for all the graces and all the blessings, all the riches that have been poured out on our behalf. We thank you for our hope that we have this morning in Jesus Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.